You're listening to Not Many of You Should Become Teachers, a podcast that explores the world of K-12 education as it intersects with the Christian faith. You might call us extreme moderates. We're skeptics who try not to be cynics and are allergic to cheap rhetoric. Welcome to the show. We are back with another episode of Not Many of You Should Become Teachers, and we're really thrilled to be with a friend of the show. She is an alum of the school that we teach at, and she has a lot to share when it comes to just experience in the Christian school education. So we'd like to welcome Emma Chin. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah. No problem.
Yes, Emma, delighted to have you on the show. It's been a couple years now since you were in this classroom.
I think it's been about 2 years only.
Only. But we often speak of the afterlife, life mm-hmm. after the school that we teach at, life after high school. And why don't we jump? We've got a list of questions here, but why don't we jump to question two? I mean, tell us a little, like, what are you currently up to? What is life for you?
Well, I just finished my first year at Emily Carr, just doing the foundation program there. Right now, I'm just working. But now that I'm done first year, I'm planning to transfer to New York and attend the School of Visual Arts. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I already have a question. Can I ask you a question that wasn't on the list? Because speaking of art, something that you probably know a lot more better than I do, where did that... like the desire to want to go to art school. So I'm curious, where did that come from? And did your experience in Christian education, did that intersect at all?
To be honest, I actually have no idea how I came to the conclusion of like going into art. Ever since I was young, I actually wanted to be a vet. And like in grade 8, I was planning like my whole high school life. I was like, oh, I need to do IB, make sure I get 6s and 7s in biology, need to do all of these science projects in order to get, and like I wanted to go to Glasgow to study in veterinary school. But I've always been interested in art, and it's always been one of my hobbies, but I never actually thought about going into it. And then for some reason in near the end of grade 10, I discovered that that's sort of something that I wanted to do, and it wasn't necessarily like a strong pull to do it. I just thought it was the right decision to make, and yeah, so that's how I sort of came to that conclusion.
Did you do the International Baccalaureate program?
I only did 3 subjects.
Oh,
so
okay.
I did want to do the whole diploma program at the beginning, but then when I decided to go into art, I was like, oh, it's not really useful for me to do the whole diploma program if I'm going into art. So I only did IB history, IB English, and IB art.
Cool.
Yeah.
And that's how I really got to know you, Emma, was through IB history. Mm-hmm. Did I teach you in the grades before then?
I only had you for grade 12 IB history. And
right.
Then you taught me Christian perspectives in grade
12. That's right. Yeah. As we were out actually doing a fundraising walk today, and I was reminded we used to go for, I used to take the class for strolls, like when it was nice weather, we'd go outside. So I actually was remembering that today. So one of the things I remember, Emma, is you were, to use the language of our podcast, a little bit skeptical about history in general. You didn't really actually like the course all that much, and you were quite vocal about that.
Yeah.
Which I absolutely love, and you're sitting back here in the same classroom where you were taught.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that experience of, courses you loved and courses you didn't like, but you were navigating it all together. What was that like?
I think a lot of my... throughout my high school life, I think liking a course was very much determined based on how well I did and how easily I grasped the situation. And half of it was also the teachers involved. So for IB history, I just found that it was sort of difficult to navigate because I didn't have like the skills to do well in that course, and I didn't find that I was getting the sufficient help that I needed, so I didn't enjoy it as much at the beginning.
All right, now this is a Faith and Learning podcast where we really do look at all things Christian education and how those two things, faith and learning, intersect. So in terms of your student experience here at a Christian school, what were some of your highlights being a part of this community?
I think one of my highlights is definitely the outreach trip that I went on. I just think that that was a very different experience, something that I never thought that I would get to experience. And being someone who doesn't really go out and meet new people and very much sticks to themselves, I think I was pushed to get to know some of the people within my year and the year above me. And I created really good memories from that experience. And even though a lot of what we had to do on that trip was humanitarian aid and working with children and the community, working in the community there, I found that what I took out from that was the relationships built with my team members. And that was probably one of the most memorable experiences in the school.
I can't help but ask, but where did you go on your outreach trip?
So I went to Cambodia. Yeah. And what I found was really interesting was, because I grew up in Singapore, Cambodia had a lot of similar cultural norms in comparison to Singapore. And it almost felt like I was sharing this sort of cultural experience with my teammates, and it almost felt as if I was going back home to Singapore and doing work where I felt like I belonged. And I thought that that was an interesting experience, and it was sort of cool to intermingle those two, the Canadian and Asian cultures that I experience in my everyday life.
We're skeptics, we try not to be cynics, and I use some of that language back even when you were a student. And so I'm just curious, in your experience, how would you describe, your attitude towards faith and learning, but also what is the role of being a bit skeptical of what we're doing here? How do you see that play out?
Well, in terms of my experience with Christian education, I feel like because I've grown up in that sort of environment, I've only seen sort of one method being utilized. And to be honest, I don't actually see a lot of skepticism or even sort of the teachers or the institution urging people to be skeptical about their faith. It's very much structured. And I think that skepticism needs to be present within any sort of faith-based organization, because questioning how you perceive things is really important in order for you to grow as an individual in any circumstance. And so I think Christian education tends to lack that. And then it really pushes people in a very narrow and rigid direction. It gives no room for discussion or improvement in that sense. And I think that's why I enjoyed my last 2 years at this school, in order in the Christian Perspectives class, simply because those classes allowed conversation, it allowed skepticism, and there wasn't the typical, you have to believe this in order to be right, and if you don't believe it, you're wrong. There was very much a gray area that was discussed, and I think that's really important within Christian education that needs to be implemented more.
And we've talked on this podcast, of course, about being developmentally appropriate, sort of like age appropriate to where a student would be in their faith journey and faith formation. And it's encouraging, if I can use kind of a spiritual Christian-y word, right? I'm very encouraged to hear that you experienced even a little bit of that in your senior years, right? Like in grade 11, grade 12, that that space would be opening up. So so thank you for that.
Yeah, I also have said before that the growth happens in the gray, in those gray areas. And I'm so like, it is really encouraging to hear that that was something that was present for you in your final 2 years. But then that challenges me as a middle years teacher, someone who's teaching grade six. And I think, well, how do I get my students to a place where they're asking questions? And sometimes if I'm honest, sometimes it takes me to say something that is kind of jarring. And then, and I'll just say something like, some sort of factoid or something that challenges some thinking, you know what I mean? But finding that developmentally appropriate challenge is very difficult because like, as we've said, you could actually, like I could have some very cynical grade six students. In fact, I might, you know, I'm not, I'm not saying I do, but if I were to let on into a, an inappropriate challenge, then yeah, then I foster cynicism. So you've challenged me by saying that. So thanks for sharing.
To continue on that topic, though, what I found interesting was I actually really enjoyed the structure of Christian education up until grade 8. I found that it was really helpful with my faith at that time, and I think when even when you're growing, when you grow up in a Christian sort of environment all your life, you need those typical foundations like memory verses. And you need people to tell you how sort of this big faith is, because it's difficult to grasp when you're so young. But I just think the problem lies when kids become more mature and you continue to contain their curiosity in that small structure. So structure is always important, but it needs to be different, or it needs to change when people reach a certain level of maturity. So I think like in high school, that's when I found I really dislike being like so restricted in my faith. And I found that a lot of the time I was going against the grain and that wasn't being accepted. But had the school allowed me to explore those ideas and move past simply just memorizing memory verses, reading the Bible, and just doing basic Bible stories, and just actually if they allowed me to discuss what those Bible stories signified and what those, how you to apply them in your everyday life and expand on that, I think I would have appreciated my education way more.
Now, Emily, you've mentioned a couple times just the context of the school and the school doing this, the school doing that. So, and I'm thinking of individuals. So, I mean, there's certainly the realm in our podcast. We talk about teachers. So what role teachers played in that? I'm curious just from your, from you being a former student, what was the peer perspective on that? Like the students that you were in a class with, did that play a part in it too? You talked about structure and feeling restricted and narrow. A teacher drives that certainly, but was there an element of that being, for lack of a better phrase, like there's a peer pressure towards that in the community? How did that, how was your experience for that?
I do think that there is a peer pressure that gets developed, but I think that comes from the culture that the school nurtures, and so it's this whole sort of ecosystem that happens. And I honestly think that that negatively affects the whole community. 'Cause a lot of my friends that I hung out with in high school have said to me that they're not Christian and they don't like Christianity. And a lot of it is because of the school. And while that's not my experience, in that sense, I don't necessarily have very fond memories of sort of like the Christian culture within the school, but I held my faith because I separated school and my religion. But a lot of people, the reason why they walked away from their faith was because they put faith and religion, faith and school together. And so their idea of what the school is their idea of what the faith is. So I think that sort of the system that the school endorses perpetuates this sort of system of negativity.
I've said in a previous episode how I'm shook sometimes. You've shook me. That was good. Wow. And to some extent, like, discouraging, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But in a challenging way. Once again, I'm challenged. I'm an alumnus of Christian Ed as well, and maybe I'm just a little bit too far removed, and some of my, I don't actually am in contact with a lot of the people that I graduated with, but I would be so curious to now ask some of these questions that we're asking you to ask them. I also really like, this is quite a while ago, but you recognized the strength in construction, because you said that foundation in your grades K to 7 years, or however many years you attended in Christian Ed, how important that was. And I'm reminded of some of the words that Richard Rohr used in an interview on Bible for Normal People, which is a podcast that we've talked about before. And he talks about how with children, and grade 8 is really when we start getting like the teenager, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We could look at the history of the word teenager and stuff like that, but when you think about like younger children, like for sure, like elementary school, K to 7, he says that it all must be construction. You really cannot enter a world of deconstruction with young kids. And if you do, then you set them up for cynicism.
Mm-hmm.
Deconstruction or picking apart, like I use the analogy of Lego pieces, that like my job is essentially giving these students spiritual Lego pieces that they can play with, and that at a certain age, they'll probably break apart completely and then look, dissect them one by one, or look closer at each one by one. So, and actually it was interesting because some people consider Richard Rohr quite liberal, and he says this, he says that the conservatives are actually the best at this when it comes to just that construction with children, and the liberals sometimes are too much into deconstruction. So mm-hmm. Here we are talking about skepticism and stuff like that. And not to say that I don't want question asking students. I want students that are thinking, but yeah, I also, I do see the value, as you said, in that construction, even as simple as something like memorizing scripture.
For some of our more attentive listeners, you may be hearing some odd sounds in the background of our recording session today in studio, and we have young Mr. McFarland here as well as a guest, and he's cutting and writing things on the whiteboard. But Emma, when you're talking about, and Riley, in your conversation here about construction of faith, I mean, that's exactly what I'm doing with this little guy here, who's writing stuff down and cutting and pasting. I mean, he already asks a lot of questions. I don't need to fuel that in ways that are not appropriate to his development. And so, it's my hope and it's certainly my prayer that he would reach a point not unlike where you're at now. I look at the age span across the table and thinking through this, there's a skepticism of asking questions and go.
Or could I say, I think a curiosity. Mm. You know what I mean? Curiosity is really where learning starts.
Keep the curiosity going, actually, right? In a sense of when is that pivot point? You talked about it sort of grade 8, right? Where there's this switch for you. So,
I think that's probably the part that's a little bit difficult to navigate, just because it's probably different for everyone. Yeah. But personally, I think there's obviously like a switch between becoming like from the transition from being like a child to a teenager. Mm. And I mean, even in not in terms of like faith, just in general, people are always like, oh, rebellious teenagers.
Go.
Yeah, so that's when they become curious, and I think that they realize that their lives aren't just like flowers and sunshine. Like, darkness becomes evident, and I think that's when I realized that darkness became evident. And like, to be very honest with you, before that, I thought my life was perfect. But after that, even like the smallest things, I realized that my life actually isn't perfect. And I think that's when, so then you become curious and you explore this darkness. And so for me, I had my faith as my foundation, but other people get lost in that curiosity and they're not led the right way and then they just get lost. I had grounding, but even with grounding, I was still deep in this sort of dark despair and I had to learn how to navigate myself out of it. But for some other people, even now, they get exposed to that darkness and then they stay there.
Emma, when you talk about having a grounding and being sort of anchored or rooted in something, it's an incredibly profound thing, but it's also, it's not the sum total of all that we do. So when I think, for example, of your experience in even in my own class of IB history, there's probably precious little in the actual content of that course that you're going to take away with you and be like, oh, that's changed my life forever. But there's an element of what I take so seriously is I'm aware that even just in my disposition, in how I relate to you as a student, in how I treat a class, how I treat you as a person, that's going to have a lasting impact. And the grounding, I don't want to keep ripping apart everything, and you can't just deconstruct forever. You need mm-hmm. something, and it might not be the whole system. I realize I say this. I would have said this to you when you were a student in this room. I'm part of the system. Yeah. I stand in front of you and I'm wearing the shirt and tie and I'm mm-hmm. I'm part of the system, but I want to give you something that's bigger than the system. Mm-hmm. That's the takeaway.
Yeah.
You said like we need something more than that. Like more than after deconstruction really should be reconstruction, right? Like if we think about it that way. But I think also what resonates with me is how we to some extent fail liturgically. And you could look at our second episode on the liturgical calendar, and when we fail to recognize ordinary time, like time before Jesus, or even when I think of Lent, like for example, but I think actually we really do Advent a disservice as well when we're really excited for Jesus to come, but actually like when we think about Advent being a dark season without Jesus, and when we only are Christmas Easter people, then it's very easy to start to think that my life should be all flowers and roses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So personally, my high school life was kind of actually really bad, I would say. Probably the worst time of my life. And if I'm being very vulnerable and honest, like every single day, I wanted to die. Like, I wasn't suicidal, but I wanted to die. I just did not want to continue living. And all I could think about was like, oh, if I just die, I'll be with Jesus. And because I didn't want to feel anymore. And I hated being in sort of enveloped in this darkness. And when I think back about that time, like literally everything is just dark and gray, but then I had, my only light was I have Jesus and he is there for me. And that was the only anchor that I had. And I even though that was the darkest moment of my life, I think that's when I grew the most. And I really developed a strong connection with God during that time. And it was very much personal, very much my own faith. And it wasn't the schools, it wasn't my parents, it wasn't the churches. It was purely my own, and I learned how to navigate how I fit into that sort of relationship with God. And even now, I wouldn't say I completely wouldn't be a cookie-cutter Christian. And to cookie cutter Christians, I probably seem rebellious and not close to God, but I would argue that right now I'm probably the closest I am to God. And I think allowing people to navigate their faith in their darkness is really, really, really important.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. That's awesome. Yeah, we're looking at your story at post-Christian education, and sometimes it's referred to as a bubble, which maybe you have heard of, but yeah. After leaving Christian Ed or the bubble and entering what we call the Christian Ed afterlife, or as Dave has coined, what has surprised you? Has anything surprised you now that you're outside of Christian Ed?
Yeah, so, I mean, talking about, like, my dark period of my life. After I left high school, I automatically, just because I think my depression was situational in that circumstance. So after I left high school, I like automatically became like way better and like more joyful in general. But so I think one big transition that was sort of different for me was going to art school, which is completely different from a Christian school. And I think, like, even the first day during my orientation, I realized how institutionalized I was in my way of thinking because I just grew up in a Christian school. Like, I remember the first day when after they did like the orientation, they finished talking, and in my mind I like expected the person speaking to be like, okay, let's bow our heads and pray.
Oh, come on.
And I was like, wait, no, I'm in an art school, like, we don't do this. And I also remember like the second day of orientation, they did another seminar and they like dropped a few swear words, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm in school. What? Are they allowed to say this? But then, like, those sorts of things, like, I realized that I had been in that bubble, as you said. And as much as, like, during school, I like to think that I was not, like, I was kind of out of it, and I was like, you know, the lone wolf. I was ahead of my time. When I went to art school, I actually just realized, I was like, oh my gosh, I have been so caught in this small little community that I, as much as I thought that I was out of it, like, I didn't know everything that sort of the world had to offer. But I think that, I don't really know how to explain it. I actually think that after experiencing sort of this very niche community in a Christian school, it was really a very interesting transition to go into something as completely opposite, which is art school. And I've had such good conversations in art school about faith, and I have experienced so many new things that like help me grow. And just as the types of conversations that I have, the connections that I have with my friends at my university has really given me a better understanding of how to be a Christian, how to interact with people, because at art school there's so many people who don't believe what I believe, and but yet they still have something to offer to my faith and to give, and they give me food for growth. And there's I feel like partially this is because for some reason there, I feel like no one has their walls up and everyone's their true selves. But I think that while I was here in high school, everyone had to fit a certain standard, a certain mold.
Cookie cutter.
And you had to be perfect. That's how everyone felt. Well, at least that's how I felt and how many of the people I knew felt. But when I went to Emily Carr, no one had that anymore. It's just, I think it's also very much an artist thing, like, this is who I am. This is what I'm doing. And so everyone had sort of this liberation from this grasp that we, that was on us.
In a sense, everybody comes, you mentioned niche communities or small, tight-knit communities. I mean, we all start our lives in some small little community. And then the world opens up to us in knowledge and understanding, interacting with other people. And I wonder too if this is the challenge that I find for us is to be able to divide between what is just like what I'll just call normal high school, like developmentally, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just being a teenager and emerging into adulthood versus what is the part that we add on in Christian schooling. So you got high school and then now it's like Christian high school. So you got the religious spiritual component. Mm-hmm. That really sort of ups the game, right? In terms of like the stakes are really, really high. Mm-hmm. And so I think you've articulated some of the things around even just authenticity that you've experienced even beyond our walls. We love to use language. We've talked about rhetoric. We love to talk about community. We love to talk about being raw and real and authentic. But then there's these walls and there's these barriers. And I know from having had you as a student and seeing where you're at now, you were pushing against those walls and you were challenging that in good ways. I would say healthy ways. So even as you journey beyond this, know that the institution itself can sometimes actually be in the way. And I think Jesus was actually all about mm-hmm. challenging institutions as well, particularly religious ones.
And if I could just say that already, you're a success story to all the people that are too scared to send their Christian kids to art school. Look at you. Look at you. And then also recognizing something that I love to talk about is how you, like you said, like how they give you food for growth and how we can actually learn from people we disagree with. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you said that you don't agree on beliefs, but hey, here's something else that you can learn from them. Or even sometimes about beliefs that we can learn from each other. I think that would help a lot denominationally in a lot of areas too, and the fact that you're learning that in university it's awesome. We always ask people what you're reading, so if you like books or even if you don't, tell us what it is that you are hitting up with the books at the local library or whatever.
So I mean, I had a Indigo gift card, $75 gift card, and they had a sale, so I bought like 5 different books. And but right now I'm reading Pride and Prejudice because I love Jane Austen, and I have a few other books lined up for the summer. Cool. Hope to read them all by the end of it.
More Jane Austen, or like what type of genre are you into than classic fiction?
I do have more Jane Austen. One that I'm really curious to read is Lolita. I don't remember who the author is. It's very
dark.
Oh,
that is a very weird book,
but I'm really curious because I'm...
We just lost half our listeners because you said Lolita.
Yeah. I kind of...
Maybe all of them.
Yeah. Very weird, but I'm always curious to see like how people write about sort of weird and dark subjects, and I just think that's interesting.
You're such an art school student.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming. This was a very meaningful conversation.
Thanks for having me.
Yes.
That sounds so real. So authentic.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And before we go today, we actually have something that we'd like to share, and that is another 5-star review on iTunes. Come on. This is from KD Marshall, and the title is awesome. This podcast is thought-provoking and inspiring. I've thoroughly enjoyed listening to each episode. Thank you for your perspectives on these hard-hitting issues. Awesome. Well, thank you for that review. And if you enjoyed today's episode, today's conversation, make sure you drop by the app of your choice. iTunes is a great spot to do this, where you can leave 5 whole stars. And that really helps us get our conversation, this very important faith and learning conversation, into more people's ears around the world. And it's just such a cool thing to do. In addition to that, if you want to be notified of our next episode, you're going to want to hit subscribe on whatever app it is that you use.
And then you will always be notified when we drop a brand new episode. If you want to get in touch with us, Twitter is the best place to do that. And our handle is @notmanyofyou. All right. Well, thank you for listening, and we will see you in the next episode. Bye-bye. Thank you.